Well, good morning, everyone. I trust that you have a bulletin with the song sheet because we're going to sing from that. So I invite you to take that song sheet. We'll be starting this morning with Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And let's all stand as we sing together. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Good to have the Gossmans here back with us this morning. Pastor Gossman, could I ask you to lead us in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, as we started that song today, guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Lord, that is our desire and prayer today, that you might guide us. Lord, that you might help us, Lord, to be faithful in following you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be together on this Lord's Day. What a blessing it is to be gathered together with your people. Lord, to be under your word and to be able to sing forth the praises of our God. Lord, might you direct our hearts and speak to us, Lord, through thy spirit and through thy word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
And may you see it. Well, it is so good to be together. I want to welcome you to our service. Special welcome to the in-building people today, those that are here. Good to see your faces. And we also welcome those that are not here with us, our out-of-building folks that are listening on the recording. We're thankful that you can join us that way as well at a different time, but we trust that you'll be able to worship along with us now. I heard yesterday at the football game that they had 4,700 cardboard cutouts in the stands, and I was thinking, you know, maybe we ought to do that here in these empty pews. We could get some of those cardboard cutouts of our folks that can't make it out. That would be an encouragement to me, at least. We can just see you that way. I don't know. All right. Well, for our announcements here, look at our calendar. We had some meetings planned at 5 p.m. tonight. We have one of our elders is sick, Mr. Ray, so we're canceling that. The ladies, we're also planning to meet the Women's Ministry Fellowship, and I don't know if they're still going to do that or not, but that's on the agenda anyway to have that meeting. And then our evening service is at 6:30, and I hope you'll join us in the building if you're able to, and come on out. And we'll have our time of fellowship together. And just think of a testimony that you could share. Even before you come, what have you seen the Lord do recently in your own life? Just a praise or a blessing that you could share with the congregation tonight. That's always an encouragement. And so you may just give it a little bit of thought and come prepared with a testimony tonight. We are planning to meet again at 6 p.m. for some outreach in our community on Wednesday. We do have a few more gospel packages to give out, and so we're planning to do that. And then on Friday night at 6, we're having a fellowship there, calling it a roundup night. That's for all of our cowboys and cowgirls. And so come if you'd like to, for all ages, are welcome at that. We're planning to have some vittles. There is a sign-up sheet for the vittles. And if you would like to, you can dress up, get your cowboy hat, your boots. And we are going to have a contest for the best-dressed cowboy and cowgirl, and I think maybe for adults and for children, if we had that thought out right. So encourage you to come on Friday night here at the church. We'll start at 6 and have some games and activities as well. Next Sunday, you should be well-rested because you're going to be getting that extra hour of sleep, turning your clock back an hour on Saturday night. So remember to do that and get that extra hour. Can anybody tell me what important event is coming up on November 3rd? Anybody know the answer to that? That's right. It's Lance Ray's birthday, I think, right? And then there's something else called the general election. That's also coming up. But I hope you will vote, and I hope you're prepared to do that. Maybe some of you already have. Who has already voted? All right, several. Good, okay. So you're already done with it. You're moving on. And good. So remember to do that, those of you that haven't. All right, Sunday, November 22nd, coming up here in November, we're planning our Thanksgiving service. And that's a special time we have every year where we set aside just to offer our own thanks and praise to the Lord in that service. So we're planning that again this year. And just encourage you to prepare a testimony of thanks that we can offer together in that service. We are planning something a little bit different surrounding that. The first thing is the time. We're going to have that service at a different time, and that is 5 o'clock p.m. We're going to have our Thanksgiving service Sunday night, 5 o'clock p.m., all right? And then afterwards, we're planning to have a meal, a Thanksgiving meal, except it's not going to be turkey and dressing. It'll be something else, because you'll be getting that already, I'm sure. But we are planning to have a meal, and this is going to be a meal served by the Pilgrims and Indians. And we'd like to have our young people dress up as either a pilgrim or an Indian. And we'd like to have them serve that meal, all right? So if the adults want to dress up as well, you're welcome to do that. Dress up as a pilgrim or an Indian. You can pick either one. And so we'll have that Thanksgiving service at 5, have that first, and then we'll have that meal afterwards here, hopefully served by our pilgrims and Indians, younger ones. And again, it'll be not turkey and dressing, but some sort of food that'll be served on a plate and brought out to you in that way. All right. So that's what we're planning for that. We may need to have a sign up so we know how many we're serving, but we can get to that later. Our local health department, again, has confirmed that the published virus guidelines for religious services from the Ohio Department of Health are all that they have for us as a church here in Morrow County. And though that document is posted in the building here on the bulletin board outside the doors. It's also on our website posted. And they've changed that a number of times. I've seen about 3 different versions of it. And so the most recent version is there on the board. But my suggestion is that we follow those recommendations. And now they do want us to be wearing masks. And I recognize not everybody likes that, but that is what they want us to do. And at the same time, there are exceptions for that. The order regarding masks is on the bulletin board, and you will see that there are actually 16 exceptions for that order, some of which are children under 10 are accepted, and those with health conditions that actually wearing the mask would worsen a health condition, and so on and so forth. And so there's other things there that you can look at. So decide what you should do and show respect and love to others about it and try not to make it, you know, the major issue of the church. But it is what they're asking us to do. Every week we've been trying to make sure everyone has our church information, especially since we've had more that haven't been able to come out to church. And so we send out each week the recordings of our services, the bulletin, and the prayer sheet. And we have two lists. We have a list of people that receive that by mail, the USPS mail, and then those that have the email. And, you know, I know there's a spectrum of preference on that. You know, some people are over here and you say, I don't want to touch a computer over here. Those people, you know, say, it's fine, we'll send you a CD. That's all right. And there's other people over here who say, I have a computer and I use it every day. In fact, I carry one around in my pocket. And that's okay, and I know how to do that. And so that's fine. We send that out by email. And maybe you have some other people that are in between that spectrum. And you say, I have an email address maybe, but I don't like it, and I'd rather have a CD. That's fine. We'll send a CD out and give you a CD. And if you don't have a CD player, if anybody doesn't have a CD player, we'll get you a CD player, all right? If you would listen to those CDs along with us, we'll get you one. And so that's all right. You know, you don't have to change your view of technology, all right? You, as a Christian, you can hate technology and still be a Christian, all right? You can love it, and you can still be a Christian. And whatever you do, do it to the glory of God, all right? And same with the mask and everything. You can hate the pandemic. You can think it's a hoax, all right? Or you can think it's really, really severe. But whatever you do, glorify God in what you're doing and respect others and their views that they have. So anyway, birthdays. We have a birthday coming up on October 30th. Mr. Ray, his birthday is coming up. Mr. Al Ray, so happy birthday to him. And our gospel packages, I think we have 80 left here at the church. We're down to 80 gospel packages. So, again, the challenge is to get these out before the election. The track deals with that. So we're trying to do that Wednesday nights. And maybe you haven't taken a stack yet and give them out to people at work, your neighbors, your family, the waiter at the restaurant. So if you haven't done that yet, just challenge you to take some more of those, and our goal is to get them out by the election, which is just a week away or so. And so just remember that. All right, prayer requests this morning. Does anybody have a prayer request you'd want to share with us? Any prayer requests? Yes, Rob.
Just unspoken.
Okay, unspoken for Rob. Any other prayer requests? Good to see Ethan there. He had an accident. How many stitches did you get, Ethan?
Five
stitches. But he's here, and it's good to see Ethan here. All right. Anybody else? Pray for Mr. Evans as well. He had surgery this past week and recovering from that eye surgery. But we want to pray for him. Yes, Ron.
For a friend of ours.
Okay, friend of the Margrave named Matt for his salvation. All right, anyone else? All right, well, let's go ahead and take our song sheet then. Turn to the next song, Jesus Paid It All. Jesus Paid It All. Sing this together.
Thank you.
am the door of the sheep.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear me.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that he might have life, and that he might have more abundantly.
May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word, and may be seated.
Seated. Turn, if you would, please, to John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10. We've come to the 10th chapter here in our series in the Gospel of John. And in this chapter, at the beginning of this chapter, we have Jesus Christ describing a sheepfold. And this leads up to the famous statement of Jesus, "I am the good shepherd." That's in this passage. That scene was something that is probably very familiar to the listeners of Jesus there in Israel and even in Jerusalem, where he most likely was when he gave this discourse. There were shepherds that kept their sheep on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Remember the shepherds that the angels appeared to when Jesus was born there outside the city of Bethlehem. But they would have been familiar with those folds and the places where the sheep were kept for the temple sacrifices. And the Old Testament even is filled with the imagery of sheep and shepherds. Think of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And God speaks of himself as a shepherd. Psalm 80, verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock." Of course, can't forget King David, who before he became king, he was a shepherd who took care of sheep. We have two ways of seeing Christ in this pastoral scene. And the first is as a door to the sheepfold, and the second is as a shepherd. And this passage that we're looking at here this morning, verses 1 through 10, focuses on Christ as the door to that sheepfold. I think that every kind of animal keeper, whether it be a farmer or a shepherd, whatever kind of keeper you might have, they all have their doors for their animals, don't they? Whether it be the doors for the sheep or the doors for the cows, they have their gates, they have their doors in the barns. The other day I was at the zoo. I went on the field trip with the girls to the zoo, and the zoo has a lot of doors for those animals. In fact, we always enjoy going around to look at the monkeys and the gorillas. And oftentimes, you can see the gorillas, and they're standing there by the door. And I think I've even seen them pounding on the door. Why is that? Because their food comes through the door. And they're able to go out into their little grassy areas and go back into their cages where they keep them, or whatever they're called, glass houses where we look at the gorillas. But they have their doors, and that's how they get in and out. That's how they find their food. And here we have Jesus identifying himself as the door. He says that in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." In verse 9, "I am the door." But as we look at this passage, we see that there are two ways of seeing Christ as the door. In the first verses, verses 1 through 8, really, we see Christ as the door for the shepherds. Christ as the door for the shepherds. He's the door the shepherds must enter, the door to the sheep. And then secondly, he is the door for the sheep, the door the sheep go in. So we'll look first of all at Christ as the door for the shepherds. Christ as the door for the shepherds. We need to back up and remember the context of this passage. John 10 comes just after John 9. And in John 9, we saw the story of the man born blind who was healed by Jesus. And we saw the Pharisees in that passage, how they were so interested in debunking what happened there and saying that, oh, it was just a hoax somehow and it hadn't really happened, and let's go talk to his parents. No, he really was born blind and now he sees. And we saw in that passage Jesus talking to them, and at the very end, Jesus speaks directly to them about their blindness. Here was this blind man who was not a religious leader, and yet he had the eyes of faith, as we saw in that passage, to see who Christ really was. But the opposite of that were these religious leaders, these Pharisees in chapter 9. And Jesus says, they are blind. They are the ones who were supposed to be leading the people. They were the shepherds of Israel, the spiritual leaders. And Jesus says, they're blind. And Jesus is still talking, I believe, to those shepherds, to those so-called shepherds in John chapter 10. And he has some very strong words to say to those shepherds. Notice chapter 10, verse 1, he's still talking to those shepherds. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See that true shepherds enter by the door of Christ. That was the very opposite of what those religious leaders of Israel had done. They had rejected the door. Christ came to them. Christ showed who he was through his words and his works. And they said, no, we are not going in that door. Jesus says to them, you're thieves and robbers because you haven't entered in at the door of Christ. You know, how many religious leaders are there today who would fit in that same category? They may be leaders of people, denominations, trying to teach people spiritually, and yet, have they entered into the door? Have they gone through the door of Christ? And if they haven't, the same thing applies to them. They are thieves and robbers. But Jesus speaks of true shepherds, true spiritual leaders here. He shows us several characteristics of a true shepherd, somebody who enters in through the door of Christ. And we see that a true shepherd is one that serves the sheep. Jesus here calls these religious leaders thieves and robbers. He saw what they were doing. He knew what they were doing to their followers. It wasn't to serve them. It was to serve themselves. They're thieves and robbers taking for what they wanted from the sheep. You know, God had rebuked the shepherds of Israel for this very thing back in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 34 is a passage of rebuke towards the spiritual leaders of Israel. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. That's what Jesus was saying to these religious leaders. You're feeding yourselves. You're robbing from the flock. Jesus had rebuked the leaders in other passages for this very thing. Luke 16, he spoke of the Pharisees, where it says, who were covetous. And then in Mark 12, he issued a warning to those religious leaders. He said, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. But true shepherds, ones that come in through the door of Christ, are just the opposite. They come not to rob and to steal from the sheep, they come to serve the sheep. And that's what Jesus was teaching them. And then notice another characteristic of a true shepherd, and that is, true shepherds can be identified by the sheep. Verses 3 to 5, Jesus goes on. To him the porter openeth, verse 3, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. From what I understand, the shepherds in the Middle East are maybe a little bit different from ones here in Western countries, Europe, this country. The Middle Eastern shepherds are known to have their own calls for their sheep. They respond to. Perhaps that's the same here. They sometimes kept their sheep in a large pen, a large fold, with the sheep of other shepherds. And when it was time to take those sheep out, the shepherds would come and call their own sheep, and their sheep would know them and follow their own shepherd and go out of that fold and find their pasture. The fold may have had a porter, as it's referred to here in verse 3. A porter is just a doorkeeper. The doorkeeper would have known the shepherds and who to let in and out of that sheepfold. Another maybe difference is that the shepherds of the Middle East lead their sheep. You know, maybe here in this country, think about the sheepdogs. And the sheepdogs are around back, and they're barking and they're herding their sheep from the back. And Jesus is speaking of a kind of leading where the shepherd is out front. He's leading the sheep, and the sheep are following. But the point is that the sheep know the shepherd, and they flee from a false shepherd. Read a story about a group that was touring in Israel in the Holy Land, and they were going into one of the cities, and the tour guide pointed out there, right in the middle of the city, a group of shepherds, and they're right there with their sheep in the middle of the city, and mingling there in the center of the square. And the tour guide pointed out, look, watch these shepherds. Watch what they're going to do. The shepherds here, they're going to lead their sheep. And sure enough, the shepherds decided it was time to go, and they got up and started going, and they called their sheep, and the sheep followed them. And they went their separate way out there in the city. The tourists were amazed as they saw the sheep separate, follow their shepherd. But later, the group came to another stop, and they piled out, had to take a break, and somebody saw some more sheep. And this was a different scene. They saw a man who was going behind the sheep, and he had some kind of switch or something, and he was beating the sheep from behind and making him go that the direction he wanted to go. And the tourist said to their guide, wait, I thought you said that shepherds lead their sheep here. And this guy, he's out behind. He's got a stick, and he's going like this to the sheep from behind. And the tour guide said, yes, that's true. The shepherds do lead their sheep. But that was not a shepherd you saw. That was the butcher. That was the butcher. You know, there's some so-called shepherds, even today, that are acting more like butchers. They are driving their sheep, not leading them. How do they do that? How are they driving their sheep? Well, I think perhaps some shepherds that are driving the sheep with money and power and entertainment and you know, big names and popularity. They have lots and lots of people following them, and they're driving those sheep to the way that they want them to go. But let me ask you this. Do they really have the sheep following them? Do they really have the sheep following them? Why won't some people listen to the message of the gospel, the message of God's word? Are those the sheep? Or are those the goats? Do those other shepherds have Christ and the gospel? Have they come in through the door of Jesus Christ? They may or they may not. You know, they may have nothing else. Some of the shepherds of today may have nothing else except Christ and the gospel. Not very much more. But the Bible says here that the sheep know the shepherd because he knows the true shepherds, the true shepherd. You know, I think this passage tells us something about real true sheep, true Christians. And that is that a real sheep has a spiritual instinct about him. That true Christian, you know, eventually they're going to be able to sense, all right, something is not right here. And you know, they may not be able to put their finger on exactly what it is, but they say, you know, this shepherd is not, this isn't right. There's something wrong here. The unsaved man may not notice any difference whatsoever between one shepherd from the other. But the genuine sheep, the real Christian, has help. And I believe it's called the Holy Spirit in their heart to help them and to guide them. True shepherds can be identified by the sheep. And then notice here another characteristic. And that is that true shepherds know God's word. That's the very opposite of these shepherds. Notice verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. The religious leaders here, they're not sure what Jesus is talking about here. Now, that should be a little bit strange because these were people that should have known God's word. They should have known the Old Testament. And we can go to all kinds of different places where Jesus, where God spoke about shepherds. And the warnings he gave to the shepherds, the spiritual leaders of the people. And now Jesus is using that same imagery to warn them. Prophet Jeremiah lived in a day where there were many false prophets who spoke popular messages and appealing things. But God gave a message to those false prophets. And this is what he said in Jeremiah 23, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." And then here's what they should have done. "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." I suspect that much of the same thing was going on in Jesus' day. You had these false shepherds who were giving messages of their own concoction. But the problem was they hadn't stood in God's counsel. They hadn't stood and heard God's word and given God's word to the sheep. The real shepherds, they enter in by the door, Christ, and they heed God's word. They know God's word. They preach God's word. And Jesus is highlighting that here. Christ, the door for the shepherds. That's true today as well. True shepherds come in to the fold through Christ, through Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, we see that Christ is the door for the sheep. Christ, the door for the sheep. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Here, especially in verse 9, Jesus addresses anybody. "By me, if any man enter in," shepherds included, no matter who you are, "by me, if any man enter in to that door, they will be saved." If anybody will be saved, they need to understand and cling to what Jesus says here. Christ, the door for the sheep. He is the only door of access to God. See, by nature, the Bible says that we are sinners. And also because of our actions, we go against God's word and God's will. We have disobeyed. And because of that, there is a wall between man and God. There is a wall that we cannot get through or get over on our own. There is no way. Our sin is a barrier between us and God. There's no way that we can get through except for the one door of access. There is a small door in that wall. And that door by which we get through that barrier of our sin to God is Christ. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." That's the only door. It's either go through that door or stay outside. People today can say, "You know, I don't like that door. I want another door. I am going to figure out my own way to get through that barrier, to try to climb it myself, or to try to dig and cut my own wall through that wall of my sin, my own door." But you can't do that. There's only one door. It's only one door. And the world has always been seeking after its doors. What it thinks is really going to help its situation. Right now, we're all thinking about politics and the political saviors that people think are going to really help and fix our country. But you know, whoever's elected, they will not fix that barrier of sin that stands between us and God. There's only one way that we come through, and that's Christ. We come through that door to God. He's the door. He's the only door of access to God. He's the door of salvation. "I am the door," Jesus says. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He shall be saved. Jesus came to save. He came to save. He came to help you deal with your sin problem. He came so that you can find forgiveness from your sins, so that you can have a way to deal with the effect of sin in your life, the guilt that is on you because of your sin, the wrath of God that is on you, the Bible says, because of sin. Jesus came to save you from that, to give you forgiveness and deliverance from that, from the eternal penalty of your sin. He's the door of salvation. And there's blessings that come with that salvation here. He says, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." You know, what good would a sheepfold be without a door by which the sheep could go out to their pasture and find the food that they need? What if they just had to stay into their fold all the time? They never went out for the food, that fresh grass that they need. Well, Jesus tells us that He is the door by which we enter in and find salvation. But He's also the door by which we go in and out and we find the blessings of salvation, the needs that we have that are met. One of the children's stories that our family, that I've read to the girls for a while, is called Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel. Anybody ever read that book? All right. Mr. Cost has. Okay. Mrs. Margraf. And Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel is the story of a guy who owns an old steam shovel. In a day in which the steam shovels are going out of style and being replaced with the newer updated equipment. And he comes in contact with the town of Popperville. And he learns that they want to build a new town hall in the town of Popperville. And so Mike Mulligan and his steam shovel, she has a name, I forget what it is, but they sign on for this job. They're given this job to build the basement of the new town hall in Popperville. And so everybody watches as they dig and dig and dig and build this basement. And they finally get all done with it, and somebody points out a problem. And that is that there's no way out for Mike and his steam shovel. They dug this basement, and now they're stuck in the basement. There's no way out. And so a little boy comes forward, and he has an idea. And the end of the story is they decided to leave Mike Mulligan and his steam shovel there in the basement of the new town hall. And he became the furnace, the boiler, for the town hall. And Mike lived out the rest of his days with his steam shovel there, built in to the basement of the new town hall. You know, God's not like that. God has provided us with a way to get out, to get in and out of that sheepfold. He's not just locked us in without a way that we can have our needs met. He is the door that we're able to go in and out and find pasture as his sheep. What does that mean? Here's another way to put it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. For the true sheep, the true Christian, we have something that God has provided for us every day of our lives that the world knows nothing about. The shepherd leads us every day of our lives. Jesus Christ, he leads us in and out to find pasture. He leads us in a way that we find spiritual strength and blessing even in death, even in the shadow of death. The shepherd leads us. You know, we can have that right now. You can have that right now. You know, it doesn't depend on you changing your circumstances in life somehow. If only something was different for you, if only you could move somewhere and do this or do that. No. You know, this kind of provision for you is available to you anywhere you are. The Lord is your shepherd. Anywhere and every day, he leads you in and out. This is the blessing that's available to anyone, anywhere, at any time. He is the door of salvation. And then we find that he is the door of life. Notice verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You stand outside that door, you picture that wall, that barrier between you and God, you stand outside, you will die. Yes, die physically, but die spiritually and die eternally. There is that second death that the Bible speaks about, the lake of fire, which is the second death. But if you enter into that door, you enter in through Christ, you have life. If you stay outside, you have death. You enter in, you have life, eternal life with God forever. And have that even now as a present possession. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. It's life more abundantly. That word abundantly means a life that is considerably more than what you would expect or anticipate. You know, there may be somebody who thinks, what am I going to lose out on if I go through that door? What am I going to lose? Am I going to lose my friends? Am I going to lose the people that respect me? Am I going to lose money? You know, Jesus promises something more than all of that. For the one that will enter into that door, there's something more, something considerably more than what you would even expect for that life, both now and in the future. The life that you gain is more than whatever you leave behind to follow Christ. It's much, much better. You know, I like the story written by John Bunyan of Pilgrim's Progress, that great classic work that was written by Bunyan when he was a prisoner for preaching the gospel in England. And He wrote that as an allegory of the Christian life, and that main character, Christian, leaves the city of destruction, and he enters upon his journey to the celestial city, which depicts heaven. We see all the different things that he faces on that journey. And one of the first things that happens to Christian is his journey to find that wicket gate that evangelist in the story tells him about, to look for that wicket gate, that small gate, to go in there. And so we're told about him going there, and he stands there at that door, and Bunyan writes, "He knocked, therefore, more than once or twice. At last there came a grave person to the gate named Goodwill, who was asked who was there and whence he came and what he would have. Christian said, 'Here is a poor burdened sinner. I come from the city of destruction, but am going to Mount Zion that I may be delivered from the wrath to come. I would, therefore, sir, since I am informed by this gate is the way thither, know if you are willing to let me in.' The gatekeeper says there, 'I am willing with all my heart,' said he. With that, he opened the gate. So when Christian was stepping in, the other gave him a pull. Then said Christian, 'What means that?' The other told him, 'A little distance from this gate, there is erected a strong castle, of which Beelzebub is the captain. From thence, both he and they are with him shoot arrows at those that come up to this gate, if happily they may die before they enter in.' And said Christian, 'I rejoice and tremble.'" In the same way, people that stand at that door, Christ, they may enter in just as easily. And they may know that they will be received there at that gate. If they just knock, if they just come to Christ and believe, you'll be received. The devil doesn't want you to go in. The devil is shooting his arrows at you and at anybody who is thinking about entering into that gate of Christ. He'll do whatever he can to keep you out. You know, there may be somebody here listening to this, and you're thinking about coming into that door, and you're seeing all the people that are walking right by. And of course, we know there are many people of this world who are on that broad way, and they're walking down that broad way, and it leads to destruction. And you may see all those people walking right by, walking by the gate, walking by Christ, not realizing or not caring that it is the door. He is the door to salvation. You say, why are these people going that way? And I'm thinking about this. Don't think about what other people do. Enter in through the door of Christ by faith in Him. Don't wait any longer. Enter in. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man or woman or boy or girl enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Let me say this to you today, whether you're here in the building or whether you're listening. If you are not sure that you have entered into that gate, Christ, and you need help, I'd like to help you. I'd like to pray with you. If you're not sure, please ask somebody to help you, to know what you would need to do to enter into that gate, Jesus Christ. I'd be happy to help you and to pray with you. And then let me say this as well. Perhaps there's somebody here today or listening to this, and perhaps recently you've come in. In your heart, you've believed on Christ, and you realize in a way that's different than anything else that you've done before, you've come into that gate. Let me ask you to do this. Let me ask you to tell us. Let us know that you've done that. Tell me. Tell somebody in your family. Boys and girls, tell your mom and dad. If you believe that you've come into that gate, you believe on Christ, you know that you've come in, tell somebody about that. That would be such an encouragement to us to be able to know that you have come in through that door and believed on Christ. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the door that we enter in. Thank you that he's the only way that we can get to God, that we can have salvation, that we can have life, an abundant life. We thank you for this. We pray for anybody who's listening here today who's not yet come through that door. Father, we pray that you would help them to trust in Jesus Christ and to enter in. And allow us, we pray, to rejoice with them and to welcome them into God's family. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our song sheet now and we'll